across Maya is a violent sickness altering the very form of nature. The people cower behind city walls, losing their connections to history and all hope of a better life. But six seasoned adventurers, Allegan, gnome sorcerer, Logoth, the bone-armed cleric, Mativis, Varana samurai, Nydia, hag hedgewitch, Ogan the Anvil, human cleric, and Ravi, half-orc magus librarian, will be called out of retirement to battle monsters and the sickness itself, speak with the gods above and below, and separate myth from truth. Join us for The Great Old Ones.
Welcome back, everybody. Wasn't last episode exciting?
Yes, the answer is yes, it's always exciting. You're with the Great Old Ones, oldmagicgaming.com. I am here with my amazing players, and we're going to hit the ground running with some
really fun stuff that's going on.
Last we left, the party was in a pretty precarious predicament. Nydia, Maat's character, was actually in the general store near where a bit of fantastical combat was going down. So we are going to jump right in with that situation and come join us. So Nydia is going through the store. You remember all that? You were looking through the shelves and there was
Hey Anno, this right here, this is called salt. Can you say salt?
He pronounces salt in Draconic, but it's Draconic phonetic. So he's speaking Helic, which is the common tongue of Maya. So he's saying salt, but it's more like salt.
Oh, that's so good. You did such a good job. And I scritch under Anno's chin, because I don't know Anno's gender yet. They haven't told me. So I scritch under their chin and pet them. You did such a good job. This is Paprika.
Throw me a perception check.
I reached for a dice. That is not what I need to do.
We're using a roll 20. Our dice are digital.
It has been so long for me. I totally forgot. That's at a 13.
You hear a slight shifting as if feet are crunching through gravel from outside.
Outside. Mm-hmm. Oh, so I hear it through the door, which is the only open part.
Correct.
In this building. Then I turn around and I say, "Hey, y'all!" Thinking it's my friends. "Hey, Anno just said salt."
And nobody comes through the door.
Peek my head out.
And you see, now you will remember, it seems a little jarring in your head because you're looking out and you see these bursts of magic skittering through the sky above this stone wall that seems to have grown up out of the ground and encircled this building that you had seen earlier. And the stone wall seems to kind of fuse with another building and wrap itself around. And above in the air, you can see that there are spidering energy lines, and there's clearly some magic happening within the confines of this constructed stone wall. That looks like it's part of the earth itself that has just risen up.
Is it like a dome or just like a cylindrical wall?
It's a cylindrical wall in the sense that it is open on the top. But if you can imagine if you took a sphere and you cut off the top 10% of the sphere and the bottom.
I'm in a fishbowl.
Yes, like a fishbowl, very much. It looks like somebody erected a fishbowl around these buildings. Now, you're on the outside of the fishbowl.
Oh.
And the building where all the magic is happening in the air is inside the fishbowl.
So my building is not in the fishbowl. It's the buildings that I last saw some of my friends in.
Correct.
Oh, poop, Anu. Oh, poop. I knock on it.
You hear a lot of harsh words of magic. There's shouts of pain. There's some guttural screams. You're kind of banging on the wall. It feels fresh. It feels like it's vibrating. And then there's just silent.
I can't hear anything anymore, but the fishbowl's still there.
It's still there. And the ambient sounds of, just a large city that has been vacant for who knows how long.
like my voice echoing against the cavern walls.
Right, and your heart pounding in your ears, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have dispel magic. I'm running through the thoughts in my head. I don't have anything that's going to help in this situation. I can't fly. Do I see? Okay, I would like to start running around the fishbowl and see if I can find some friends who weren't trapped in it. And I'm whispering, Alligan! Ravy!
So you make your way around the entire perimeter. You seem like you kind of take in that it's a very oddly shaped fishbowl. It's kind of a squished sphere. And as you make your way around, you see none of your friends. You hear none of your friends. There is a lower point against the corner of a nearby building, but you still think you would probably have to kind of very carefully push yourself against the corner of the building and the wall itself to kind of shimmy up if you were
to
climb it.
Okay, but I could do that.
You think you might be able to.
Okay. I didn't see any friends. Now, you had said it's a squished fishbowl.
Mm-hmm.
So there was some intention on not to touch certain buildings, like to intentionally to go around some buildings.
It looks like the design was definitely intentional. And it looks like it was to trap the two buildings that are kind of being conjoined by the wall.
Then I want to look around everywhere else that's like a high up-ish point that someone would be able to see. Somewhere high up that you could see, like, I want it to shake. Yes, vantage point. Thank you.
You're welcome. All good. So from where you're at, you realize that if anybody was going to, just the height and the way that the mouthing of this, we're going to call it fishbowl now, of this fishbowl shape kind of is, someone would probably have to be flying or levitating or casting remotely in order to be able to do something akin to that.
And do I see anyone doing that?
You do not.
Okay, I'm shimmying.
Okay, make a climb check for me, please.
Oh, I try to shimmy, but this is not, I do not do parkour.
You do not. You could probably take a 20. It'll take you a little bit of time to get up there, but you could do it. But you think just a straight climb check, you jumping into it, it's not going to be something you could do swiftly.
Yeah, an 8 is not going to get me up that building.
Right. But you could take a 20. It'll just take you some time to get up the wall.
And what take? You mean take 20 minutes to get up the wall?
Well, yes. So taking a 20 takes you the set amount of time that it would take for someone to effectively do a task. Typically, it takes anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes to complete the task.
Okay, that's my best bet at this point because I don't see anyone flying. So I will take the 15 minutes, and I will whisper to Anu. Fly up and make sure that everybody's okay, but don't be seen.
And it just kind of looks at you and kind of shakes its head no.
Okay, don't do it then. Don't do it if you don't want to do it. No. And then I hold Anu really close and I tuck Anu into the front of my apron and I start shimmying, doing a very slow, clumsy job of shimmying up.
So you get to the top of the wall and you're able to kind of see that you can slide down into the bowl from the other side.
I want to look around again. I don't see anyone flying.
No one's flying. From your vantage point at the top of the bowl, you can see that there are two freshly slain gugs that are lying in the dirt and they are brutalized with marks from casting spells. Like you can just see from here, divine magic clings to the air like static electricity, and there is seriously some flame damage that has been done here. Some so spells Ravy? Have been cast. clearly.
Okay. And maybe Alligan? And
probably.
Maybe Jim?
More than likely, yes. There's definitely some. Well, you want to throw me a perception check?
I sure do. I want to do all the perception checks. I want to perceive the crap out of this.
That's not a bad perception check.
It's another 13.
you hear from kind of the back corner of the building that you're standing on, a little bit of shifting sound, like scuffling feet.
Okay. Then I'd like to shift Anu to my back.
Okay.
And I'd like to do a soldier crawl, a belly crawl, silently across the roof and barely peek over.
Oh, it's behind you on the rooftop.
Oh, so I don't even need to move.
Right, you just could turn around and look.
Turn around.
Yeah.
And then I turn around and I look.
Okay. You see it's very strange. It's kind of, it's illuminated. So there's no way it could be hiding from you. It's the small figure. It's maybe 3 feet tall. It's dressed in shabby linen pants. And it has a shabby linen shirt, no sleeves, with a hood stitched onto the back. And it seems to have its head stuck up inside a very poorly carved jack-o'-lantern. And there's a few flies circling the jack-o'-lantern.
Oh my.
It's wearing a belt of some sort, but you can, it looks like the belt is made of finery, but that's what you can see.
Am I getting flashbacks to being in Churis's place? Like where I saw pumpkins and lots of goblins.
Well, I mean, that was the last time that you saw some pumpkin and vegetation for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Is this person looking goblin-y?
Well,
from their hands that I can see, or?
Well, part of my notes, yes. From their hands and feet. From bits of feet and arms, what you can see, the creature's genetic origins can be nothing other than goblin.
Okay. Do they seem to have seen me?
Yeah, they wave.
Oh! I wave very slowly back. Hello!
The creature, hi?
Hi! Oh my goodness! It's so good to see a friendly face.
I have a friendly face?
Yes!
And it kind of pads its floppy feet over to you. You can see as it draws closer that the belt that it's wearing is very nice. Like if there was, to turn a phrase, the finest belt in the land, he is wearing the finest belt in the land. It has, from one side of it is hanging a set of exquisite lockpicks. A few of them are missing. The other side is a sword. It's beautifully forged. It seems to be made of some sort of silver metal. One solid piece, and the edge of the blade has a slight curve to it.
Does it look a little bit like my dagger?
No.
Okay. But it has a curved tip at the end like it.
Yes.
Like that. Yeah. But it doesn't have the antler on it.
Mm-mm. No, it's one solid piece of silver. Looks like a fine blade. Very, very fine blade.
Hello, I am trying to figure out how to help my friends. Would you happen to know how to do that?
Who are your friends?
Well, they're lovely people. They like people in wonderful jack-o'-lantern helmets. That's who they are.
Oh. I don't know about friends. Are they white-haired ladies?
Oh, no.
Oh.
Not. But wait, you've seen white-haired ladies.
Yeah, the people. They were taken by the white-haired ladies.
You saw some people taken by people with white hair.
Yes.
How many ladies with white hair? Three ladies with white hair. Did they have long fingernails?
Some do.
And do they have different colored eyes?
Some do.
Oh, okay, some out of the three. Okay. And were the people that they took five people?
How many is five?
As many as I have fingers on my hand.
That's a lot of fingers.
Yeah, it is.
It was a lot of people. Maybe five.
Okay. Did they do this fishbowl thing?
Bowls of fish?
Well, did they put up this force field?
The wall?
Yeah.
Yes.
They did do that. Okay. And my friends aren't in there anymore. Or at least the the many people that you saw them take away are not in there anymore.
No, they took them where the door is.
Oh, okay. And when the jack-o'-lantern person says this, do I see the door?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh my goodness. Well, my name is Nydia. What's your name?
He puts out his little hand. My name is Goom.
Goom? Okay, I totally know this name. And you're not going to help me with that, are you, DM?
I am not.
Shoot. Okay.
I am quite literally biting my tongue right now.
I know. Y'all aren't here.
I have myself muted.
I am so flustered right now. I can't think clearly, but I have a feeling that this is maybe not good, that the flies flying around this person is a clue to me, connection between that and the name Goom. I'm a little worried about talking to this person and getting off this building, but this is my only clue at this point. Hey, Goom, what are you doing here?
Oh, I escaped from the white-haired ladies.
Oh, they captured you.
Mm-hmm. They wanted me to open this huge door, but I think they thought I was something I'm not, or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Nobody should be captured and held against their will. That's not nice.
No.
I don't want anybody to feel like that ever. I'm going to start slowly shimmering down and talking to Goom some more. Hey, Goom, I'm going to come down to where you are. Because I'm up on top of this. Oh, wait. I thought Goom was on the ground.
No, you guys are both on the roof together.
Wait, Goom, I'm just realizing, like, how the heck did you get up here?
Goom walked.
Walked onto the top of the building?
Yes.
Oh, how do you plan on getting down?
Goom walk down.
Okay. All right. Well, I was wondering if you would want to help show me where the doors are.
Yeah.
And I will do my best to, I will do my very, very best to not let those three white-haired ladies get you.
No. That's fine. You want to see doors?
I would like to see where they are.
Okay. So Goom just starts walking to the edge of the building and then steps. And almost as if in a way that a spider would climb, he walks down the side of the wall to the ground.
Goblins can't do that.
Some goblins can. Not naturally.
Goom goblins can.
Goom goblins can do that.
Wow, Goom, that's quite a talent. I'm going to have to come over to this corner and just give me like 15 minutes to shimmy down.
Do you need help down?
I could get down myself. Do you think we should hurry?
I don't know. I mean, just you struggle, fall down the building, break your neck. Goom can't carry you out of here.
That's very true. I couldn't do it either. Okay. How can you help?
Goom help. He walks back up the side of the building and holds out his little hand to you.
Okay. Can you tell me what? Because besides not liking people being captured against their will, I also like to have full information before I consent to something.
I hold your hand, walk you down building.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that. That is very kind. So I reach out and I take Goom's hand.
Okay. You feel a slight shift in your wrist as one of the beads disappears.
Oh, okay.
You feel fine, though. And he walks you down the side of the building.
But I feel like the bead pop underneath my wrist and vanish. Well,
it more like absorbs.
Okay. All right. Note to self, no one should ever touch Goom. Okay. So we're down on the ground.
Yes. Come on. I show you.
Thanks, Goom.
So you guys are walking, and he's...
So, Goom, how long have you been out here?
Oh, long time. Very long time. They found me, and they brought me here. They thought Goom was one of the thief lords, but I am not one of them. They think because my belt, he come from my friend Ephraim, and he told me if I ever wanted to leave, I could just use the belt to get away. And I think they think that I am Ephraim, but I am not Ephraim.
No, you're Goom.
Goom is Goom. Yes, see, Goom is Goom. You understand. Yeah. Bone-armed man understood too.
You know the bone-armed man.
Yes, very nice.
Did you see him being taken away by the three white-haired ladies?
With the many people? No, yeah. No.
He wasn't there.
Lots of green smoke. No idea.
Green smoke made it so that you couldn't see how many people were there?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, did you use the belt to escape?
No. The flies helped me escape. See, okay. So, one time, I was with Grandfather Nurgle, and he was telling me about Nora the Red, and then Mr. Jorgen was like, you listen to Grandfather Nurgle, because Grandfather Nurgle will teach you about choices, and he sure is smart. And I said, Grandfather Nurgle sure is smart, but I don't know what he's telling me and why this has to do with choices. It does not make sense, nor why Mr. Jorgen thinks I need to understand choices. Watch out for that dead rat. And so you and Goom are walking as this conversation is taking place, and he's just like pointing out things as you're walking through the alleyways.
Choices like you did not choose to be with the three white-haired ladies, so...
No.
You chose to leave.
Yes, I chose to leave. Mr. Jorgen, he says choice is important. He says not enough choice. And we are the ones who help people to have choice. And if we are not around, then people don't have choice. Which seems a lot for Goom. Goom does not like to be that responsible for people. But apparently Goom is very responsible for people. Mr. Jorgen and Goom and the really angry bald guy. We make choices. So
do you tell people that when they hold your hand that you could accidentally hurt them?
Goom not hurt people.
You might be hurting people and not know it.
Goom only hurt bad people, and people sick, Goom make sick people happy.
Oh, really? You can heal people?
Goom make sick people happy.
Oh, okay. Like a patch or something? You put on a red nose? You start...
Goom's nose is green.
Oh, it is? I squint through the jack-o'-lantern.
Yes, Goom definitely has a green nose.
I see your nose. It is green.
Goom's nose is green. Grandfather Nurgle take my nose a lot. I don't understand that.
Like that? And yeah. I do the nose-taking thing.
Yeah, he does that. And then botulism. It's very strange.
And then he takes botulism?
No, gives it.
Gives botulism to who?
Everybody. He made it.
Oh. Grandfather Nurgle?
Grandfather Nurgle. He's great. Well, he was great. I think he might be dead.
Except that he made botulism.
Oh, he made all sorts of things. Botulism, the plague, the cold, the streptococcus. He make all sorts of things. Grandfather Nurgle is very good at making things. He makes all of the things. He makes things with names so long, they're longer than lifetimes. I mean, yeah. Sometimes the stuff he makes lifetimes pretty short. Grandfather Nurgle makes lots of things.
Can I tell from just how I felt if it was a disease that I was cured of?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Did Grandpa Nurgle make it so that you make people sick if they touch you?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Goom, I'm going to show you something. That because you like choice and you don't like doing things against your choice. So see these bumps on my arm? And yes. I point to the bracelet spot. When I touched your hand, one of these beads disappeared because it healed me from a sickness that I got from touching your hand.
Goom give you sickness?
Yes. And I know you didn't do it on purpose, because you would have told me that that would have happened.
Yes.
Yeah. So now you know, and before you touch anybody, you can let those people make that choice before you do it.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you, sweetie. All right. Are we still walking?
Yeah. You guys are still making your way through the city.
It's a long ways away, these doors.
Oh, very long. So very long.
Oh, my goodness. So, Goom, you've been around a long, long time. Were you around when there were druids?
I know lots of druids.
Still today?
Yeah, lots of them.
Really? Mm-hmm. Have you seen them lately?
No, they went away. When the mean lady with the red hair came, and she was all Nurgle, which does not make sense. She's grandfather Nurgle. You call him grandfather Nurgle. I don't understand why mean lady with the red hair called him Nurgle. But she'd say, Nurgle, you get up out of your chair. And she had a corpse, and she was like, I put this corpse in your chair. And grandfather Nurgle was like, you're not putting corpse in my chair. And she said, I put corpse in your chair. And Grandfather Nurgle said, no. And then she said, well, I have these winged people from the Silver Place, and they work for me, and you will put this corpse in your chair. And she was very angry. And Grandfather Nurgle, he say, no. And he say, not going to happen. And he call her name, dead is bad. And then she make the people with the wings pull out the swords with the fire and the whips with the fire and did the crosses with the fire, and there was lots of fire, and Grandfather Nurgle laugh his deep belly laugh, and his whole army rise up, and he say, I have army, a nasty word. And she gets really, really mad, and she say, I have army. And then army from his place and army from her place, they start fighting, and it was big fight. And he take part of his voice and he put in flies, and he say, Goom, you need to go. And I say, why? And he say, because Goom, you have friends. And I say, you're my friend. And he say, no, you have other friends. And I say, like Mr. Jorgen. He say, yeah, Mr. Jorgen, definitely one of your friends. And I say, okay. And he said, you know, bald man, one of your friends. And I said, yeah, bald man, one of my friends. And he said, yeah, bald man, he mean, but he like you. And I say, okay. And then he say, another friend of bald man's, I know not who, but that guy, he's supposed to be one of my other friends. I never meet that guy. And he say, you gotta go, listen to the flies. And so I go, okay. And so watch out for that dead gug. And he points to a dead gug that's on the ground. And you guys kind of, he crawls over the dead gug. And you watch as Goom's hands make contact with the dead gug's flesh, it starts to deteriorate. And then after it kind of pusses and oozes, it starts to grow into flowers. And all of a sudden there's these little yellow and white flowers grow over it. And then there's some vinage, and then there's some lilac that sprouts up. And you watch as in, you know, mere moments, the time it takes you to walk out of eyeshot of this decomposing body, it goes from this like horrible creature to this festering rot, to this beautiful pile of vegetation.
Oh, Goom, you make stuff so pretty.
See, Goom make pretty, right? Goom make pretty. Yeah. The flies.
Is that how you make sick people happy?
No, sometimes people are just happy to touch Goom.
Okay. What did the flies do?
Oh, they took me through the big, 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 big city full of dead people. The dead people seemed confused I was there, but I was there, and then I walked, and then they showed me this road, and then I walked on that road, and the fly said it took years to walk down that road, and then that road led up to another road, and then that was a bunch of giants. They did not like me. They were not nice like the dead folks. The giants tried to eat me and kick me and burn me, but I was quick.
Oh, that's not nice.
Goom is very quick. And Goom ran up some steps. There were so many steps. I found all sorts of things on those steps. There was a room with the mirrors, and there was a room with a box that did this thing. They went choo, 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 and cut people into tiny, tiny pieces.
Oh, geez.
there was a room where all these wires ran across the floor, and there was a guy with wings, and somebody had just smacked him on the wings, and the whole room had filled him with arrows. That was very strange. And then I kept going up, and I had a bone-armed man. He was there at one point, and there was something called the White Tornado. It was very strange. And then I met the talking dragon head. That was, he was nice. He was very nice. And then I found this room that had a bunch of statues and a big oak desk. And oh, I found this. And he reaches inside of his shirt and he pulls out this quill. It's a raven feathered quill. And he holds it up and he goes, I found this. Have you ever seen one of these? You got a knowledge nature on you?
Oh, I bet you I do. Knowledge. I got a 26. How's that?
Heck yeah. So this is the most pristine raven feather you have ever seen.
I have seen ravens before, and I have seen some of their feathers laying around, but that is a beautiful, beautiful example of one.
Oh, but watch this. It does something really neat. He puts his hand on the top where the bristles are, and he runs it down to the quill tip. And as he does, you watch the feather shift into a key. It's a key made of black pitted bone. And he goes, it turns into a key.
It does. That's a cool trick.
I know, it's great. And then you do it this way and it turns back into a feather. And then you do it this way and it's key. And then you do this way and it's feather. And you do this way and it's key. And it just goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You wanna try?
Yeah, I could put it, I could even put it in your pumpkin.
That could be fun.
Open your pumpkin. Like you got a cute little feather. Fancy pumpkin. All right. So I take the feather. And do I lose another bead? That's something I was curious about.
You do not.
Okay. And so I do the same thing. I run my fingers across it.
And it turns into a key. And you get flashes when it turns into a key. A lot of images. And you feel if you have time to decompress, you might start to understand all of what you have seen in touching that feather. But you think right now it's more just like staring into a kaleidoscope. And
I just got too much going on.
Right.
It's like all the information I'm getting from Goom itself. Okay.
Exactly.
So I turn it back into a feather and I poke it through the pumpkin like I'm adding a feather to a hat.
Okay.
On the side of the pumpkin.
Goob, of course, cannot see it because he's wearing the jack-o'-lantern on the outside of his head.
Oh, okay. Well, I pull out a shiny bit of a vial with some black stuff in it. And I hold the vial in front of Goom and I say, see, it made your pumpkin fancy.
Fancy. The black stuff in the vial, is that... What is the black stuff in the vial?
Oh, you called me on that.
No, I was just going to see if you had some blight in there. That's what I was asking.
Oh, no, I do not because I cured it.
Cool. I didn't know if you guys had gotten another one. Okay, we're good.
No. I picked up some different moss off of the ground and cooked it over a fire, and it is a potion.
Peach keen.
A potion of... burnt tastiness. hey, Goom, you had said something about the mean lady with red hair.
Yep.
Do you know if her name was Kendrell?
Does not sound familiar.
Do people call her the green, the hag goddess or the green witch? Is that what? No.
Does not sound familiar. No green involved. Mm-mm.
Okay.
She was just a half-elf lady with red hair. Real mean.
Okay. She was a... Say that one more time for me.
Half-elf lady with red hair.
Half-elf lady. Okay. A half-elf lady. Okay. Thank you so much. I am trying to learn so much from you. I feel like I'm right on the edge of learning so much from you, Goom. Wow, so you knew Logoth.
Who?
Bone-armed man.
I know a bone-armed guy. He was nice.
Yeah? Really? That doesn't sound like... huh. So, really, really skinny guy, white guy with dark hair slicked back, wears a black cape and a bone arm. That's him?
I know the Barnheim guy. He seems nice.
Yeah. Okay. So how was he nice to you?
He helped Goom.
Really? How'd he help you?
He told Goom Goom could leave, so Goom left.
Were you trapped again? Was someone holding you and it wasn't your choice?
No, Goom just got lost.
Oh. Oh, how nice. Yeah, he's actually helped us with that too. Yeah, he's a pretty good guy, I think. A little, yeah.
As you guys are walking, you start to smell like this foul and rotted flesh smell. It starts to assault your senses. And as you move from street to street, Goom doesn't really seem to be in a rush. Like, he just seems to be just kind of moseying. Mm-hmm. Everything Goom does seems to just happen at Goom's pace.
Okay.
So he's kind of moving through. As you kind of move around, you come to this massive city market. It's close to 100 yards, you know, wide. And it looks like something large has impacted in the middle of this place and caused a huge crater. And the crater kind of goes down into a bowl shape. And near the center of the bowl shape, easily a pile of 100, 150 gugs just rotting in the middle of this. And the air in that area is just thick with flies. And across the bodies, there's these strange dark-skinned hounds that you can see kind of sleeping or fighting over chunks of rotted flesh or just kind of chewing down on the dead gugs. And Goom just kind of moseys on to the edge of the, you know, and starts walking around the perimeter of the crater. And he's just like, I would not go down there. They are not nice.
No, they don't look it. And I don't think my friends did that either. You know a lot about decay. How long have those gugs been, or those creatures been sitting there rotting?
They've been down here a while.
Time's
since the white-haired ladies came.
Yeah. Time's not something that you really keep track of very well, is it, Goom?
Before and after.
Yeah. A lot of many days, many years, a long time.
Happened before
or
now.
Or a short time. Okay. Right. I'm learning so much about you, Goom. Yeah, so I think those, you know, I wonder if those white-haired ladies are hags.
Goom. They're mean. I would not call them names.
I'm a hag, too, and I used to think that maybe all other hags were not nice. Well, me and Ashra, but now I met three other hags, and they were nice. So I don't think hag's a bad name. And I'm starting not to be so angry at all hags. But hags that take my friends and hags that keep people against their will, that's not okay.
No, they stab people too.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, they stabbed me a lot when I did not open the door.
Are you hurt? Do you need some healing?
Oh, no, they just stabbed me a lot and threw me in the water. And by the time I crawled out of the water, they were gone. And then Goom was here. They say, Goom, you open this door. And Goom say, I can't. And they say, you use the feather. And Goom say, that's not where the feather goes. And they say, you know where the feather goes. And I say, yeah, where the horses are. And they say, the horses are in the door. And I say, the horses are not in the door. The horses are in the stable. Silly white-haired ladies. And then they get really, really mad. And then they stab me with the bone knives. And then they throw me in the water. And then they leave. And then Goom float up. And then some fishes die. And then that thing down there, he was mad. And then I was here.
Oh, that's part of how you escaped?
Yes, Goom got away. Goom good at escape.
Okay. When you get hurt, do you heal up, like, fast? Or many days?
After hanging out with Grandfather Nurgle, it's hard to hurt Goom.
Okay. All right. What was that thing under the water that you made mad?
I don't know. It was old. It left. Abilene, Abotai, Abodes, Abodisco, Abodabo, Abba, D, Dancing Queen.
Dancing Queen.
Whom not know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you said it.
Abu Dhabi? I thought it was Abu Dhabi too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Abu Dhabi. Abu Dhabi the Aboleth, maybe? Are we almost to the doors?
Oh, maybe another long time to get there.
Another long time. Okay. All right. What are you wanting to do next, Goom?
I don't know. I get you to door. You find way your friend be at door. You go find your friend. Goom leave after you find door. Goom wander. That is what Goom do.
Oh, you wander. What do you go and see?
Everything. Goom like to wander. Goom find old man. Old man wander. Goom need old man's help.
The traveler?
Yes.
Traveler seems pretty cool. I think the traveler's friends with my friend, Foltrace.
Foltrace, nice lady.
Yeah? You think so? Have you met her?
Oh, she great. She come to Grandfather Nurgle's house with Volkas and Queen of Blades, and then they go, we need help, and then Grandfather Nurgle go, I help you, just don't tell anybody. Oh, never mind. She real nice lady, though.
I'm quite fond of her, too. I hope that I can make her proud.
She nice lady.
Yeah. So, Grandpa Nurgle, he made colds and plagues and botulism.
All sicknesses but one.
What's the one?
The one from the Torn Prince. He not make that one.
The Torn Prince? What did the Torn Prince make?
He get put on chair. And
is that
mom,
the corpse?
Yes, he get put on chair. And his mom, okay. She go, you are now Plague King. And the corpse, it didn't do anything. And then she get all of the magic from the corpse, and then she go, I have created a sickness. It is most powerful sickness. And I'm like, you're crazy. Grandfather Nurgle make the better sicknesses, lady. And then she apparently not see me, and then the flies say we gotta go, and then all those winged people, they were fighting with all the barb tails, and then Grandfather Nurgle, he get killed.
I'm so sorry.
Good. Oh, no, it's fine. See, death and life, they work together. When Grandfather Nurgle dies, new sickness is born. New sickness come into world. New sickness give Grandfather Nurgle strength. He be bad. He be fine. Not like mean lady. She problems. She not be fine. She got soul issues. I not like her. She not going to be reborn in good way, I don't think. Maybe as aunt, not as cow or something nice. That is Goom's thought. But Goom, not theology.
No, your job is to make dead things pretty.
Yes, that's what Goom do.
Mm-hmm. The green...
And pick locks. Goom is greatest thief that ever lived.
Oh, really?
Goom is greatest thief that ever lived.
Oh my gosh, is there anything you could teach me?
You want to see Goom pick lock?
Oh my gosh, I so do.
Okay. Goom walks over to a door. And he pulls
where's this door? Just like one of the buildings?
Yeah, you guys are just walking through. So just Goom walks over to a door of one of the buildings. Watch Goom pick lock.
Okay, wait. You've got to teach me because I am trying to learn this stuff so that I can help my friends better too.
Oh, pick lock is so easy. You take lock pick and you stick lock pick, interlock, and then you step back. Nice lady.
I should step back.
And then the whole building explodes.
Oh my gosh.
Go pick lock.
Oh my god. I'm checking Anu. I have kept Anu in my apron this whole time, and I've been touching them just to make sure they're okay.
Right.
And is Anu okay?
Anu pokes Anu's head out from the apron and looks around. And there's just bits of Dawnstone raining down from everywhere.
Oh my gosh, that's right, that's Dawnstone. That's some powerful picking you got there.
Goom, greatest thief that ever lived.
Yeah. Do you get caught?
No one catch Goom. Well, everyone catch Goom.
Yeah. and then they sneeze.
Sometimes.
So do you actually get your items that you try to steal, or by stealing it, you completely destroy it?
Goom not steal things.
Oh.
Goom just...
That is the greatest thief. That is like next level thief.
Goom not steal.
No one can have it.
Stuff breakers, stuff takers. Goom is stuff breaker. Grandfather Nurgle say better to break stuff than take stuff. That way no one has stuff, therefore no one fight over things.
Oh, that's a pretty interesting philosophy.
Smartest demon I ever met. And then he just walks down another alleyway.
Wait, who's the smartest demon you ever met?
Grandfather you? Nurgle.
Nurgle? Grandfather Nurgle is the demon?
Smartest demon ever met.
Huh. Some other demon asked for me and my friends. I believe his name was Hagrith, the Lord of Chains.
Ooh, Lord of Chains. Good people, those chain folk.
Oh, there's more than one chain? Lord of Chains?
No. One Lord of Chains, one Queen of Chains, Ace of Chains, Four of Chains, Two of Chains. Lots of chains. Chitons. They're called chitons. Have you ever met a chiton? They're very nice.
Have I ever met a chiton, DM?
No, you have never met a chiton.
I would remember.
You would remember if you had ever run into a chitin.
Like I remember Archons?
Yeah, you would have remembered a chitin like you would have remembered an Archon.
Okay, all right. Oh, wow. Okay. Is there something you can tell me about Hagrith, the Lord of Chains, that'll help me and my friends when we meet him?
I mean, he likes the color yellow.
Like the blight flowers?
Don't like blight flowers. Yellow good. She picked that color for a reason. I not like her.
What was her reason? Did she pick it because Hagrith likes yellow?
Demons like yellow. She make it yellow so people think demons do it.
Oh, what a jerk.
Yeah, mean lady mean. Almost there!
Yay! I'm really worried about my friends.
So he leads you to a large dock area, and there is a multitude of greenstone barges that kind of sit on this gently kind of swaying water. And beyond it, hundreds of feet into the water, you see this colossal waterfall that pours down from far, far, far above. And as the waterfall makes it down this this large, you know, stone wall, you see these massive doors carved of dawnstone in the surface, and the waterfall forks and goes around either side of these massive doors. The doors are probably about 5 stories tall and proportionate to double doors. So you can imagine that they're pretty friggin' huge. And just from your vantage point on this dock area, you can see that they're carved with just all the sorts of dragons, like different depictions of dragons. And just all over this this wall. And the surface of the water is just dotted with dead fish and other subterranean aquatic life, which is just kind of dead and floating in the water.
Okay, so those are the doors then?
Yeah, those are doors.
And do I see any hags or any guards?
Mm-mm.
Are we still pretty far away? Or are we right there?
No, we're close. We take kayak. See kayak? Little green kayak. He's pointing at a little like...
Okay.
It looks like kind of a little rowboat. Mm-hmm. He's like, we take kayak over to doors, and then there's stairs. Stairs go up. Stairs go up to where doors are.
And how far are you going to take me in, Goom?
Goom take you to stairwell.
Okay.
Goom not go back up there.
No, I don't want you to get caught. Is there anything I can do for you, Goom?
No, not that Goom can think of.
Then I guess I get into the boat with Goom. We start rowing.
And he rows you over to the shore and throw me a perception check as you guys get out.
An 18.
There are 4 keyholes in the door. 2 on the left side and 2 on the right side.
4 keyholes. So the doors are closed.
Yes.
Goom, do you mind if I... No. So when Goom used the lockpicks, the entire building was destroyed and everything in it.
Correct.
When you use your lock picks, does it hurt anyone inside the building?
There is no one left inside building after using lockpicks.
I thought that might be the case. Do you mind if I try to use my lockpicks?
On that door?
Yeah. Unless you know of how it might be unlocked.
Might not be a good idea.
Thank you. Look at you, Goom. You're so helpful.
Well, white ladies want door open. White-haired ladies want door open. Me not want to do anything white-haired ladies want to do.
Oh, this is the door they're trying to open.
Oh, this one. And there's another one that's made of starstone. And there's another one that's made of greenstone. And there's another one that's made of redstone. Goom can't open any of doors. Goom tell them, Goom can't open doors. They say horse behind door. Goom say horse not behind door. Horse in stable. They say horse behind door. Goom know where horse is. Horse not behind door.
Yeah, I don't want to open it either. I thought you were saying that my friends were in there.
No, friends up stairwell. And then he points, and behind one of the waterfalls, you can see these very steep staircase carved into this cliff face. And it goes up about 100 feet, and there's a landing. And then you see it doubles back on itself, and it goes up another 100 feet, and there's a landing. And it looks like it just kind of goes up that pattern until it, you would assume, reaches wherever the top and this waterfall is coming from.
So, Goom, you are really, really talented thief. Is this
greatest
a building
thief that ever lived?
Yeah. Is this a building that should stay intact and not be thieved?
Building upstairs where friends are?
The one that has the giant doors. If the white-haired ladies want it open, what if you just destroyed the entire building?
Oh, whatever inside might come out or open or be unlocked.
Okay, we don't want that either.
Oh, no, whatever they want, we not want.
Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm. Okay, let's get in this boat.
You're already in the boat. You guys went over to the door. Then you got out of the boat. So you're you're in front of the door. Yeah, it's cool. So at this point, you can take the stairwell up. Or
okay. Goom, I would like to give you something to help you on your journey so that you can get away better.
Okay.
I'm going to cast Guidance on Goom, which means touching Goom again, which will give him a +1 to an attack roll, a saving throw, or a skill check.
He shifts a little bit, and he looks at you, and he reaches up, and he pulls a feather out of his hat, and he goes, Goom have idea.
Mm-hmm.
Bonar Man might know what feather do.
Mm-hmm.
Give feather to Bonar Man.
Okay, I will. I promise.
Nice meeting you, lady.
It's nice meeting you too, Goom.
Nice meeting you, baby dragon. Or should I say,
wow. I wish we had practiced that all the way here. So I could learn their name. Does Anu still work, do you think?
Oh, it not care. As long as no one say its true name, it fine. It's hiding.
But you just said their true name. No?
Oh, yeah. No one listen right now. Everyone dead but us.
Okay. Thank you so much, Goom. You are so, so nice and helpful. I hope you make all the dead things pretty.
All dead things are pretty.
Yes. All right. I go up the stairs. Safe journey, sweetie.
Bye. Safe travels.
Thank you.
So you start making your way up the stairwell.
Yeah.
Good times, guys. All right. How much of the party is actually here?
How many of y'all are asleep now?
I'm asleep.
Actually, it worked out because my children were a little dramatic on the way to bed. So. Oh.
I just went and got a snack.
I kept muting Maddie because there was like a thumping sound going on in his. See, it's still there.
Hold on. I'm muting again.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, no.
I hope y'all were keeping track of some of that. I couldn't even write everything.
Oh, man, there was a lot of stuff that I like. Oh,
I've been
Yeah.
I've been muting using my headset. I don't know if that's...
Well, I was muting you because whatever sound was coming from your end when you weren't muted was like a thumping sound. It's not there now.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was weird, man. But it's all good. It's all good. So that is what happened while you guys were in prison and dropped off.
You mean while you were sleeping?
Yeah, while you were sleeping. So that's what went down.
And that was about a whole podcast worth of stuff right there.
Was it really?
Yeah, that really was.
It'd be an episode.
I'm sorry I took so long.
No, nothing to be sorry about. There was a huge info dump. There's a lot there.
Yeah,
there's a lot of stuff in that that even applies to Crown of Queens.
I don't really think you need to edit that down super much.
No,
like, I'm serious.
Yeah.
As long as we can get some, maybe some traveling music in the background.
Sure.
Yeah, some techno. Can you hit some?
I'll get some heavy EDM there.
Yeah, like some Skrillex shit.
Maybe I'll just roll the other way and get some like lo-fi bubble trance.
Can I see a Doom as the DJ?
Well, yeah, yeah.
Scratching records,
but that would be pretty appropriate for me.
Hey, JM, your John Michael, your volume is super low.
I am sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
Turn it up again.
It is better slightly.
Oh, keep going.
Say something.
Like here?
Yep. There we go.
Better.
Cool. Sorry about that.
No, that's cool.
You're fine.
Yeah, so that's
easier on me though, for sure. Thanks.
I'm loving the bony man beard you're sporting these days.
I dig it. Yeah.
And it looks like you're indoors.
Dude, unemployment is the greatest thing for a man beard, by the way. It'll bring one out super fast. You would be surprised.
Oh, no, I grew mine out last time I was unemployed.
Yeah. I pluck mine every day.
I was about to say, it was something to behold.
So that was Goom for all of you listening.